It is that time in the rhythm of the church year when we turn our attention to the end times, to the apocalypse, if you will, or to Judgment Day. And whenever I think about Judgment Day, I don't know why, but I always go back to many years ago to my Greek professor at Bethany Lutheran College, Professor Glenn Reichwald. And Professor Reichwald would always refer to the day at the end of the semester of final exams in Greek class as Judgment Day. I guess he was trying to instill a little bit of fear into our hearts. We didn't need to have any more fear instilled into our hearts, actually, but I guess that's what he was trying to do, so that hopefully we would study harder and maybe pass the exam. Well, it is true that the end times are often spoken of in fearful terms. Even the word apocalypse means revelation, where we see the consummation of God's grace, where God's plan of eternal salvation is revealed. It's brought to fruition. But it has taken on a meaning in everyday discourse, this word apocalypse, of something very bad, very negative. The dictionary calls it the essential meaning. And it talks about apocalypse as a very bad or very sudden event, a great disaster that causes great harm and destruction and loss. But in our reading today from Daniel chapter 12, we see a little bit of a different picture. Daniel paints a little bit of a different picture, because the purpose of Daniel's writing is to give us hope, to give us optimism. It's to be a hopeful picture, at least for the faithful, of where the world is headed. We all know that the book of Daniel is a book about faithfulness. When we think of Daniel, the man, here he is. He was hauled off against his will, off to a foreign country, a strange country, forcibly, a land of strange customs, a land with capricious kings, a myriad of false gods, temptations all around. And he was indoctrinated for 3 years in the ways and the customs and the beliefs of the Babylonians. And yet, in spite of all of that, he refused to turn his back on the God he had worshiped all of his life, the creator of heaven and earth. Daniel, on the one hand, was a great administrator and a prophet, recognized by the king. He served the king. And eventually he was given power over the entire kingdom. But on the other hand, he also in his life faced betrayal and sabotage and persecution and threats of death. He was condemned to a horrible death, and yet he refused to give up on his God. To me, the story is amazing when you think of the strength of his faith. It would have been so easy to give in to the allures of the grandeur of the kingdom of Babylonia at the time. And here he was in charge of it all. How easy. I think this is the worst temptation he faced, to give up on God. How easy it would be to fall into the trap of thinking that these things are the most important in life, to let your guard down. Could have made things so much easier for himself. He could have taken advantage of his fame and his success. He could have made himself wealthy by fitting in with all of those people around him. He could have secured for himself a life of luxury, or at least an easier life. All the power in that kingdom had been given to him. Think of the temptation. You know the saying, power tends to corrupt, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But he resisted the temptations of the world. He resisted the temptations of the power that he possessed. I think he's an example to all of us who so easily give in to those kinds of temptations, who so easily want to use power or use possessions or some other display of grandeur or glory that we might think we possess, sometimes even if it's at the expense of others. Daniel's faithfulness is a testimony to those of us living in a world that always tempts us to demur, to hold back on our faith, to just make things a little bit more comfortable for ourselves. But when I say that Daniel is a book about faithfulness, there's an even more important faithfulness that we see in this book, much more important. and that is the faithfulness of God. It was God's faithfulness, after all, that gave Daniel the power to be faithful. Daniel was faithful because he knew that God was and always would be faithful. Even when Daniel faced the lion's den, he knew he had no choice. He could not renounce his God. And I don't believe that Daniel knew for certain that he was going to be rescued from that mortal death in the lion's den. I mean, we know it just doesn't work that way. I don't believe that he knew that, yet he was not going to give up on his God. Daniel remained faithful and refused to bow down and worship the king because he knew that no matter what happened, ultimately God's purpose would be achieved, and that there was a higher reward that no matter what would be his, because God is faithful to his promises. Daniel knew that death is not the final enemy, death in this life. Now, he didn't know, of course, the Apostle Paul, but he knew, I think, some of those things. In fact, I'm sure of it, that Paul talked about, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature would be able to separate him from the love of God, which was his in the promised Messiah. And that is what we hear about in today's reading, which takes us to the last days, the end times, the apocalypse, if you will. In this passage, it says that in those last days, there will be a time of trouble, something worse than ever seen before. In fact, things will be so bad that the angel Michael will be sent to help protect and help strengthen God's people in the face of these trials and tribulations so that they would remain faithful. Daniel here, the prophet doesn't go into all kinds of detail like we hear about from Jesus when he talks about nations rising up against nations and brother against brother and father against son, son against father, and famines and a blood red moon and stars falling from the sky. He simply says there will be trouble like never seen before. But while there is trouble ahead, and the purpose of this passage, I believe, is to show us that while there is trouble ahead, there is triumph too. The point of these verses is to demonstrate the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Even before the end of the very first verse of these three little verses here, he says, "But at that time your people shall be delivered." While there will be fearsome things about the end, the point is that God will be faithful to his people. Daniel speaks here about the wise, who in the end will shine like the brightness of the sky above. Who are the wise? Well, they are those who, of course, have grasped wisdom from above. It's not a worldly wisdom having to do with human affairs, but it's about those who are wise unto salvation. That is the message of God's grace and forgiveness and mercy, the gospel of the Messiah, whose atoning sacrifice restores fallen humanity and brings us back into peace with God. Those who are wise are those who recognize their situation, their impurity. They know of the dangerous circumstances they are in. And those who are wise are those who have despised of their own strength and works and have trusted in the work of Jesus on their behalf. This is true wisdom, and they are described as shining as bright as the sky in the resurrection. Those who are wise, shining as bright as the sky in the resurrection. But there's even more here, and this is where you come in. Because Daniel says that those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever. Now, certainly this applies to any Christian who, by his or her testimony of life and words, brings glory to God and the knowledge of the gospel to many. But I think in a very real and in a very direct sense, it applies to the teachers of the church who lead the church in bringing the gospel to the world. That's what it's talking about here. There is an important missiological component here, I would say. As I read this short passage and the promises of the third verse, in me it stirs up a sense of urgency. As we prepare for, and as we wait for the coming of Christ, we see here that the world is heading for a day when people's fate will be sealed. Those who have believed will inherit eternal life, and those who have not will inherit shame and everlasting contempt. To me, this seems to indicate that there should be a sense of urgency. We should have a sense of urgency about making the message of the gospel known far and wide. I remember many years ago when I was on the faculty at Fort Wayne, and we were starting to talk about building a new library. And so they hired a couple of different architectural firms to share some ideas with us. And as a faculty, we got to look at some of these ideas. And so one architect came in who was asked to show how he thought the library could look and fit in with the architecture of that campus. And he brought a model of what he thought would look good and fitting. As a part of that model, this guy looked like Andy Warhol, by the way. That's beside the point, doesn't mean anything about it. But to me, that meant he must be pretty creative. So as a part of his model, it included a plaza and also a clock tower. And on that clock tower, there would be four clock faces, facing north, south, east, and west. And as I looked at that and I was kind of thinking about it, I thought, you know, this really must have some symbolic meaning. So I talked to the architect and I said, you know, I think that there's some symbolic, architects do stuff for a reason, you know, they think of the symbolism of what they're designing, right? So I said, you know, I think that there's some real powerful symbolic meaning here. I would say that what you're probably thinking is, one, is that there is a clock which indicates that time is fleeting. Time is fleeting. And the time of Christ's return is coming. And then the fact that it's on a tower with four faces in all directions to me seems to indicate that the gospel goes out to all the world, to the four corners of the earth. Time is fleeting and it's four corners of the earth, it's the gospel. Proclamation of the gospel far and wide, that's what I thought. I thought it was pretty clever. And so I mentioned this to him, what I thought, and he said, no, it's just a clock tower. I still think it was a clever thought. And every time I see a clock tower of four faces, I think about that. I would say that the observation was valid, with or without a clock tower of four faces. As we race on in time to that day when Christ will come to judge, I hope that we would feel a sense of urgency. First, an urgency to remain faithful like Daniel did in the face of all of the temptations and the trials and the troubles that we have to put up with, so that we are accounted among the wise that Daniel mentions. We do this, of course, by attending to the Word, the Spirit working in the Word. But it seems to me that we would also have an urgency about the task of leading others to righteousness, as Daniel describes it. In fact, it's so important here that Daniel speaks here of a special kind of glory for those who do so. They will shine like the stars of heaven. Recently, someone was speaking to me about his church body, a Lutheran church body, a sister church of ours, not the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, although maybe it could have been. But as he was describing his church, he used a word that kind of struck me, made me feel bad in a sense. He said his church was lethargic. I could not help but think about Revelation and the church of Laodicea, which was neither hot nor cold, which was lukewarm, and God said he would spit him out of his mouth, or vomit him out of his mouth, actually. It was kind of sad to hear that. But my prayer is that God would cure me and all of us of our lethargy when it comes to leading others to righteousness, because it is such a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have. But in the end, it's not, of course, just about our faithfulness. It's about a faithfulness that is much greater than anything we could ever generate. It's about a faithfulness in a God. It's the faithfulness of a God whose love and promises are eternal and unbreakable, even when we fail miserably, who promises to protect us in the upcoming time of trouble, who promises to empower us in our lives and in our ministries, and who will deliver us on the last day so that we will shine like the sky and the stars in heaven. Yes, the book of Daniel is about faithfulness, Daniel's faithfulness for sure, but even more so about God's faithfulness, in whom we can trust. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.